of Faith, I wanted to take some time to talk to you about the Thanksgiving offering. Some of you might already have heard that we're looking at doing a sound system upgrade. Unfortunately, it's been dropping out in literally some of our services, and some of you have heard it, but it's quite a bigger problem than we thought. Thank God that what we have has lasted as long as it has, but this is going to be done in two phases. One starting with our Thanksgiving offering, and then we're going to go ahead and go on to phase two with our second offering next year that we take up at Easter. Both of these will be taken and used for in-house upgrades. This is all going to go towards our sound system, and you say, wow, that's a lot of cash. It is. It's a big project. But we as a church are ready for it. We are prepared. We're asking you to join with us and help do what you can do, and we're believing God that He will do the rest. So thank you for prayerfully considering what you and your family can do for such a time as this.
Good morning, Only Believe. Welcome. Welcome to all of our guests. We're happy that you're here today. We hope that you have felt loved and brought into the presence of this great family. Two quick announcements for you today. The first is that we are still collecting newspapers, so you can bring those into the Welcome Center out there. The second is that we want to remind everyone that there is a marriage class that happens right here on Sunday mornings. It's wonderful. I can testify to how much I am encouraged. Once a month, second Sunday of the month, we just meet up in the loft and you can have a time of encouragement, and there's usually some great refreshments. So please feel free to bring your spouse and come to that. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoyed your holiday. I hope you enjoyed all the food and all the family. Hopefully you didn't have too much of either one. And to all of you who have overly eagerly decorated, Merry Christmas! I know, now you may officially begin the celebrations. Those of you who started it too early, you're the reason we had a snow a couple weeks ago, and I blame you for that. No more. You know, this is a time when we feel full of joy, but sometimes this is a time of great sorrow. Sometimes the holidays are a reminder of what we've lost and what we don't have. Oftentimes it's a great time of loneliness and brokenness. And as Pastor Tim shared a few weeks ago, God loves the broken. You are here because God's the glue, and He will collect those little pieces. Maybe right now you're at home live streaming. I hope you're in your fuzzy slippers, looking at your Christmas tree, relaxing. But maybe you're at home because you're looking at your life in 1,000 pieces on the floor right now, and you're not really sure how you're going to survive these holidays. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here virtually. I'm glad that you're here in person. We care about those broken pieces of your life. God is a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of the widows. He cares about the sparrows. He cares about you. So welcome this morning. I hope that you're able to soak your hearts in Christ and find that His glue can bring restoration to you and heal your broken heart today. Welcome.
Excuse me for a minute, but I've got a song to sing. It might not be on key, but it's from my heart, and no one else can tell it what the Lord has done for me. This might take all day, so I better start right now.
And it might get loud. Might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down. And it might get loud.
Somebody sing.
It might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down.
perfect man. I'm just glad to be a child of God. 'Cause when I think of where I could have been, should have been, would have been if he hadn't stepped in, I got a praise on the inside that can't be denied. And I gotta get it out right now. It might get loud. It might get loud. Heaven's coming down, down, down. It might get loud. It might get loud.
Vagabond, oh yeah. no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. Oh yes, to so long to my old friends. Oh, burden and bitterness, you can just keep it moving. No, you ain't welcome here. Oh no.
From now till I walk the streets of gold, I sing of how you saved my soul.
Another one, I am free. I come on, we're free in this place this morning.
I am free.
Oh, hell, lost another one.
I am free. I am free. I am free.
Hell, lost another one.
I think the Savior,
I think the Master,
come on,
we thank the King. praise.
I thank the Master. I thank the Savior.
Thank you.
forever the King enthroned. Glory and splendor, you were, you are, to be forever the King enthroned. Glory and splendor, you were, you are, to be forever the King enthroned. Glory and splendor, glory, glory.
You are.
worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place, and I worship you. I worship you. So Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
He's a Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who.
You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord another hand praise today. We serve a great and mighty God. He's a way maker. How many people believe he's a way maker? That's right. Then look at your neighbor and say, what are you worried about? Yeah, if he's a way maker, then you have no need to worry. Can we say amen to that? Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is good to see everyone. How was Thanksgiving? Yeah, some of you still look like you're full a little bit, you know, a little sleepy. You know, my oldest son, RJ, he likes to bake, you know, him and his mom, and I'm thinking about putting him in one of those kid baking shows, you know, see if we can get some money, you know, but he was baking, and I said, why do you have all that stuff separated? Like, you got this over here, and you know, and he's like, well, Dad, you can't mix this with this. And I'm like, why not? You know, it's all going down to the same place. I mean, you know, he's like, you can't do that. This doesn't go with this. It'll mess it up. Whatever. I'm like, whatever. Just put it all in there together. It'll come out just fine. But I got to thinking about that. You know, there's some things that don't go with some things. You just shouldn't mix them together. I'm like, okay, all right, God. I think God's teaching me through my son. Well, one of the things that came to my mind is the love of money. The Bible says it's the root to all kind of evil. So I should never have this love for money. But you know what I can do? I can love to give. Can we say amen to that? And that kind of messed with me a little bit. I'm like, man, you know, okay. And I was reading the Bible in 1 John 3. I won't go through it all, but it was talking about Cain and Abel, and it was talking about having a love for your brother. And but there's a scripture that basically says, but a person who has no love is still dead. And I said, wow. I said, so in my giving, there should be love. You know? And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Am I being too deep? Why not just give? And then I was looking at philanthropy. I know I jacked that word up, but you know what I'm talking about. And I was looking at, in the world, less than a fifth of what wealthy people give goes actually to the poor. You know, most of it goes to the arts. It goes to education. I said, well, what's wrong with education? But then I looked at the schools that they were going to, Oxford, Cambridge. I'm like, well, they don't really need the money like that. And so I was looking at how the world gives, but it really doesn't benefit people like you think, because there's no love in it. So as I'm reading the Bible, I'm going, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, man, you can speak languages of the earth and angels, but not love others. You can be like cymbals and instruments making sounds, and you can have the gift of prophecy and understand God's secrets and possess all this knowledge and have faith to move mountains. But if you don't love others, or there's no love attached to who you are, you've accomplished nothing. So it just made me think. And it even goes on to say, if you give to the poor, that word I messed up earlier, you know. But if you don't have love as the motivation, if you don't have love connected to it, you haven't accomplished anything. So today, after Thanksgiving, I want to remind everyone, when we give, let love be your motivation. Can we say amen to that? The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So Jesus tells us to give. And God wants us to give, and God is love. So when I give today, I want God and or love in the midst of my giving. I don't want to just give out of, you know, well, you know, let me give, or somebody's going to say something, or I don't want to be the only one sitting in my pew, or let me go ahead and just give them this money. No, I want to give out of love. I don't want to be like the world, just appearing to do something that looks nice. So what I got from this is, so love is in my act of giving. Love is in my act of giving. I give because I love God. And God is love, so He wants me to give. So this is an area I should never have a problem with. Do you hear what I'm saying? I should never have a problem with giving, because love is that main ingredient. It's the motivation, it's the purpose. I mean, God so loved the world that He gave. And look what happened. Look at the harvest that came from that. So today, as you give, mix love with your giving. Have that right, that main ingredient. God, I'm doing this because You want me to do it, and I love You, and I appreciate You. God, matter of fact, God, let me rewrite this check and add a little more to it. Because face it, folks, you're givers. You understand that today? You're givers. That's just who you are. When you got your spiritual makeover, your DNA changed. That's good. And you became not only a giver, but someone that loves to give. Right. Let's pray over your offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, as these people today, Father, just respond out of love and they give, Father, I thank You, God, that You see that giving. You see that heart. You see that move of faith that causes people to go beyond themselves and do things that sometimes is uncomfortable to them. But God, I thank You for the blessing, the harvest that's coming from this act of love. And God, we just thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can bring your offering unto the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we had a lot of... Where is Eric? He's the information sheet. Where you at, Eric? All right, Eric, would you come up here and tell them what took place in the glorious Ivory Coast? Hallelujah. Abidjan. Okay, Eric, after 10 hours in the air one way and then another 15 hours in the air to get there, 25 hours of non-movement.
Yes, 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 yes and amen. Yeah, it was a long flight to Abidjan, Ivory Coast. We flew, I think, going over. It took us about 40 hours to get there going over, about the same number coming back. Long flights, as Pastor mentioned, you know, 15-hour flight on one leg and another 10-hour flight on another leg. But God was good to us when we got there.
A few hour layovers,
yeah.
All the glory of
mission
work.
Some flight delays, which caused us to miss our next flight, which caused me to be on the phone frantically trying to find a flight to get Pastor and I to the Ivory Coast. But it all worked out. God was good to us, and we saw thousands of people come out on a nightly basis. In fact, the last night we had overflow crowds. We had to put tents outside the church because people were so hungry for the power of God. Lots of miracles. I shared this with Lindsay, which I think she shared with the congregation, I believe, on Sunday. But one night alone, we had 8 blind eyes come. People got their sight back. It was a great night, and
yeah.
Pastor was praying. Our other team was praying. Lots of deaf ears come opened. I remember the little boy, a little child, who had a tumor on his chest, and Pastor prayed for him, and the tumor just began to instantly disappear. The mother began to cry, began to break down. We saw God do lots of great things. We also took the services live on 2 occasions into 30 French-speaking nations of the world. So not only did we minister to thousands of people at their church in Abidjan, and then over, we had about 500 pastors and leaders come out as well for day sessions as well. Pastor took the time to pray for every single one. And they're very respectful. They sat down. Every time a pastor would come to Pastor Dosik, they'd get on knees, and he would lay hands on them, and we'd lift them back up again. And we gave them a little certificate that they went through our day session teachings, and they walked away. So it took several hours to pray for that many people, but they were so blessed and so encouraged by that. But the beauty of what we did, not only did we touch thousands of people there in Abidjan, but we literally touched millions of people that were watching us live in 30 French-speaking nations of the world. And a lot of the French-speaking nations of the world are very oppressed by the nation of France, unfortunately. The nations pay a 40% tax to France before they make any profit. So think about that. I mean, think about we're making a job, you know, of course, in America, you know, seems like taxes are rising a little bit by the day, but we don't pay 40% of our wages right off the bat to the United States government. Well, I'm going to prophesy we don't, Pastor. But
you know, hoping for another election.
be it so, Lord. Whatever.
God, we don't either.
Amen. Amen. But we really saw, you know, so the people came out, they were hungry for the things of God. And we just saw, you know, we saw people respond every single night from these 30 nations of the world. Miracles taking place, blind eyes coming open, tumors disappearing, people walking, cripples walking for the very first time. So church, we just want to say thank you for allowing us to go again. We couldn't do this without you. You know, you allow us to go, and guess what? It gets added to your account. Every time we go out and we win souls and people are touched, you may not be there physically, but you're allowing us to do it. And because you're allowing us to do it, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a great, great time meeting millions of people that with an M, because you allowed us to go and touch nations of the world. But it was a great crusade, a long trip. Great to get back for Thanksgiving, which was nice, and have Thanksgiving turkey, right, Pastor?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sure you got great stories about that. You'll probably share in your message, I suspect, with Pastor Phyllis. But it was great. Thank you, church, for all you did. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your giving and for your prayers as well.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forever. I'd like for you to do something with me. You know, you can have power to do a lot of things and be about as dead as a broke-back snail. In other words, you just do nothing because you don't need nothing. And sometimes it's hard to even get people to do something when they need something. We probably could be the do-nothing Christian. If you looked at how the world is going and the seemed like the devil's winning at every turn, seemed like the church is doing nothing or the church has no power. Well, the church got all the power in the world. So it must be the other is that the church does nothing. And so I want to challenge you. I'm just telling you why you're bored. I'm telling you why you're weary and you've done nothing. I'm telling you why your faith isn't working for you anymore. Why you aren't working your faith anymore. I'm telling you why you hear the word and you don't do the word. Now, I'm going to give you this secret. You can go right out this door and be as lazy as you are right now. I'm not talking to everybody, just those that are the people I just described. So that's everybody but Bill up there in the... We have become so callous to the work of sin, sickness, and disease that it doesn't even move our compassion meter. And so I'm going to give you a key. And if you'll use it, it'll work for you. It's kept me alive for 42 years serving Christ. And it comes out of Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, helpeth our infirmities, our weakness, those things that cause us not to be able to accomplish victory. We know that He comes to help our infirmities. In other words, there are no excuses for weakness. And then it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, every man comes to the limitation of himself until he decides to connect with the Holy Ghost. He is the one that can take the limits off of our life. Amen? And then it says this, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Or we could kind of phrase it like this. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us through us so that we may not understand, but we will see the victory. And then it says in this, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for all the saints according to the will of God. Now that will tell you what verse 26 says, that when these groanings come, these other divine utterances that are inspired to you as a believer, we don't just get the Holy Ghost to get 20 seconds of chill factor when we're in a hard time. Amen? And so it says this, that when you get these groanings, then you can make intercessions in line with God's will. And notice that the intercession is for me, myself, my four, no more. What did it say? For saints. Folks, Rick was hitting on it. I'm just telling you, if you're going to make it to heaven, you better start loving the brother. And you better start dying to yourself. You better come out of your retirement stage. Just because you worked 6 months for God in the beginning, you don't get to retire in the end of your life. I'm not being mean to you, but I am telling you how it should be told and how it's written. It's not written with whipped cream and fluff and puff all stuffed into every circle on the S. Amen? You know, we are soldiers of the cross. We are in a spiritual warfare. And people are dying faster than we can get them saved. There was one of the guys gave me a statistic. In order for the church in like a city our size to win the world to Christ or to keep the body of Christ alive, we would have to win 150,000 people to Jesus every year. In that little iceberg right over there. There aren't 150,000 in there, but they come and go. But what happens is we don't do anything, so the kingdom of God, though it should expand, it shrinks. This is not a fault of a loving Almighty God, but it might be a fault of a loveless church that doesn't care a hoot about sinners. You and I are going to be called onto the carpet in front of God one day. And he's going to ask, what did you do? Oh, God, I just want to thank you for that great bass I caught. I want to thank you for that new boat I got. I want to thank you for the trailer. I want to thank you for the new Durango. Oh, Jesus, was I blessed. Not going to get it. And I'm doing this because, folks, we have got to get about the Father's business. What is the first commission of every Christian? Where? Go ye into all. Now we water that down and make it palatable into your world. You know, if you work at Walmart, that's your world. That's China Mart. But what we do is we allow everything else to take precedent. Now I'm telling you, the first commandment to the church is to go ye. Anybody understand what go ye not means? Does anybody understand what go ye means? Okay. Now, that doesn't mean just because we get brushed off, cussed out, and thrown aside that we give up. Amen? I've met some good cussing Christians. And I mean, I have met him. But you can't be detoured, because you're not accountable to their response, but you are accountable to the message you give them. Now, here's what I want you to see, and this is what I'm going to ask you to do. 15 minutes every day. 15 minutes every day. 15 minutes. Now, just looking at the size of most of us, it takes us 15 minutes to go over the landscape of this thing called the body. Amen. And we worship. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost will help you deal with your weaknesses because you don't know what to pray. But the Holy Ghost knows everything about what the devil is doing and what he's doing in everybody's life. So I'm asking you every day that you pick somebody. You pick somebody that you know, somebody that you see in a store, and you take that person and you tell the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, I don't know everything that's going on. I got glimpses, but I need your help. And I need your help to intercede in a language that I don't understand so that I can pray God's perfect will for that individual. Amen. We need Christians to do that. See, there are... The Bible said, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. In other words, there are multiples in our assemblies that are never going to be able to get free on their own faith. But they should have some place that they could go and get help. And I think the Holy Ghost can start using you. Now, you don't have to tell them that you're doing it, but you can if you want. Now, when you start praying for them, just begin to pray in an unknown language. Don't look for dirty laundry, because then everybody would be praying. We have more of that Adamic nature in us than we dare to believe that has left us. And we need to love people and not scrutinize them. Amen? All right, so because we have a lack of understanding, a lack of, you know, even a lack of faith, that's why the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of faith. He comes and binds himself with us in the need of other Christians. And we then become infused with his faith. Remember Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter? If you're cold, you're walking with another one, they can make you warm. Well, you may be lacking in faith, but the Holy Ghost can infuse you with it, fill your mouth with languages that is beyond your understanding, and cause you to be victorious over the devil. So I'm going to ask you to start taking a person every day. Every day, Pastor, what else do you do? You sound like me when it's trash time. I got a million excuses. But the bottom line is the trash has got to be taken out. So thank God for Phyllis being moved by the Spirit and getting those things done. Now, do you want to stand before the Father and say, I didn't pray for one saint while I was on earth, and I really don't care what you told me to do? This disobedience that seems to make us choose what we want to do and what we don't want to do is really destroying the very root of our faith, of our nation, and of our families. We need to get about the Father's business. 15 minutes a day, just one cleansing of the landscape that you own. And you can pray in the Holy Ghost about that individual, and the Holy Ghost will partner with you, and you will accomplish victory for somebody else. Amen? So let's do that every day, every day, every day. Well, what if I just don't want to do it every day? Well, I described you at the beginning of this little exhortation. But I'm telling you, folks, now listen to me. Jesus Christ is coming back. Prophecies have already been fulfilled. Time frames have already been calculated. They've already been marked off. They've already been written over, done, complete. And I'm telling you, we are standing on the verge of the rapture of the church. Now, I don't know about you. I'm going to go. And if all you see is my rear end when I go up, it'll serve you right. Now, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. I'm telling you, today is the most urgent day of your life. Do something for God. Let's get involved. Let's pray for the saints. Amen? So, there you go. Hallelujah. I expect to hear good reports from you about how God helped you and blessed you, and the Holy Ghost come to help you, and hallelujah. And it was a great new experience that you prayed for other people. It was so gratifying, and you got swept up in the glory of the Lord. I want to hear good things. Amen? Hallelujah. All righty, I get the great honor today to talk about money for the last time this month. Remember, we're headed towards a Thanksgiving offering, which is going to go towards some things that we need in the house. But I want to talk to you about money. You know, God hates poverty. He hates poverty as much as he hates sin and as much as he hates sickness. He offered up the body of Jesus Christ to prove so. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 8, 2. Now, for all of you that are visiting, please, this is not the only thing that we preach on, but if we don't preach on money, then people will be as ignorant about money as they are many things in life. And God gives us money, and he gives us directions for its use. God is not against money. He is against the love of money. So, in 2 Corinthians 8:2, it says this. For if any man think, I'm sorry, that's 1 Corinthians. The key to being right is being where you're supposed to be. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the liberality. For unto their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired that Titus, as he had begun, so he would also finish in the same grace also. Therefore, as many as abound in every good thing, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all the diligence, and in your love to us, that ye also abound in this grace also. This is talking about this church in their deep poverty, their struggle, their tribulation, their need. There was a joy that governed their faith. They were joyful, not with how things were gone, but they were joyful that God had sent their Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where joy is. Not in what you have, it's not in what you can get, not in what you possess, not in what you drive or live. This has to do with your salvation, eternal life. Because in the end, we would all give everything for the saving of our soul. And then it says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Giving, as Rick said, is an expression of your love. You can't love and not give. And then it says this, for we know, now watch this, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, somebody say, Jesus was rich. Well, I thought he was poverty broken. That's what people tell you. Lo and behold, we have a place called truth. And it says that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be what? So does God want you rich? Wow. He sent his son, and in the same body that Jesus bore our sins in on the cross, the same body that he bore our sicknesses in his body on the cross, the same body was used for Jesus to bear our poverty that was a result of sin. God doesn't desire sin to rule you. He sent his son. God doesn't desire sickness to rule you. He sent his son. God doesn't desire poverty to rule you. He sent his son. Now, whether you see it or not really has nothing to do with your joy level. Well, if I just had more money, Pastor, you'd be as greedy as you are right now. See, because this is the heart. It's not the amount. Now, then it says, as we started looking at this, we begin to see that Jesus bore our poverty. For the reason of what? That we might be what? Rich. Boy, that dropped clear down to 2%. Now, why did Jesus die on the cross for our poverty, sacrifice his wealth, making this divine exchange? Why did he do it? That we might be
rich.
Thank you. Rich. Oh, but money is what? Paper. If you fall in love with something, fall in love with toilet paper. 18 months ago, everybody was seeking it, willing to give all kinds of money away to get it. Stop being ruled by earthly things that are going to perish. Whether you're rich or whether you see it or you don't, it's just like you know you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, but you might still be sick. That doesn't stop you from being joyful. Hallelujah. Now let's go to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and verse 6. We're going to talk about money. Money, money, money. Oh, money is evil. Why do you work? Money, money. Money is evil. It'll corrupt you. Why do you fight for your Social Security? Money, money. Why do you cheat on your taxes to keep a few dollars? Money, 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 money. You don't think money is evil. You think it corrupts everybody else, but you should have everybody else's share. Now, I'm telling you, this is the mindset of the world, and it should not be the mindset of the believer. Money is not evil. The love of money is, because it is a reversal of the value system of the kingdom of God. The value system of the kingdom of God is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That's what you're supposed to love. But you aren't supposed to love everything or anything that God gives you in place of him. That's the root of all evil, is when the value system becomes turned. If you don't love God, you won't keep his commandments. So let me tell you what you're going to do. You might not think you're going to. You're going to sin. Just let I send you a word. You're going to sin. It is the love of God that constrains us. And if you take that bridle off of man, man will ultimately sin. All righty. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we carry nothing out. In other words, you came buck naked, you're leaving buck naked. And it says this, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall. Somebody say fall. Fall into temptation. That's a problem. A snare. Into foolish and hurtful lust. They drown men in destruction and perdition. And the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after. Notice the word covet. The word covet simply is the passion to possess something. We are told only to covet one thing, and that is the gifts of the Spirit. We are not to covet money or anything that it can buy, but that covet moves us to the place that our priorities change in life, and they have erred from the faith. Having money doesn't know. Loving money and coveting things. That's what makes you err from faith. and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, laying hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee a charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is in time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwells in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting. Amen. I charge them. Listen to the charge. I charge them that are rich in this world. Now, there are two people, or two types of rich people. Those that have greedily sought money to put faith and security in. And it's those that have sacrificed their self, that put money before God. They get pierced. They get caught up in lust, in greed. They get caught up in all of those things. That's wrong. If you can't handle money without controlling yourself, please stay broke. And then it says, charge them that are rich, whereat? In this world, that they be not high-minded or arrogant, nor trust in uncertain riches. That's a danger. But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God not withholding any good thing back from us, but what we have to do is control our wealth so that our dependency is still on God. You know, it's not that you have money to do something. Could you use your faith instead of your money to accomplish it? Because in your faith, you will nurture patience, temperance, joy, stability, diligence. But just going and drawing money out of your excess will get you nothing except a lower savings account. If you trust just in money, then your faith will never grow. You will fall away from the faith when your faith is not needed in your life. So even though you can buy it, doesn't mean that you should. And then it says this, that they do good works, that they do good. And the next statement is, and that they become rich in good works, ready to give, distribute, willing to communicate, or put in other people's lives. Now, when you're rich, you can do good. When you're broke, you can't do much good. I'm just looking at the scripture. You can't do very many good works when you're broke. Oh, but the gospel is free, I understand that. But to get in the car, to get you to the corner, takes gas. Amen? The gospel is free. And I want to tell you something. DP&L is so enthused that we're holding church today, they aren't going to charge us for these lights. You aren't going to build anything. I'm going to have to pay it for you. Yeah. See, we forget that it costs money to present the gospel. And so you and I have to do good work. Somebody say good work. How many of you, if you had all the money you needed, would do something different than what you're doing? I would, man. I'd buy me a cabin on the lake. No, I'm not talking about that. How many of you would really do good things for people? I think you would. So money is not a bad thing. Money becomes bad when you use it for the wrong motive and a twisted intent. A twisted intent. All right, then it says down this. What's this? They do good works, they communicate, we're willing to distribute, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. You know that if you were rich, that you, when you use your faith to do good works and to do good, as well as to keep your faith in God, then you are going to secure your eternity. But if money pulls you away from faith, it is your enemy. Do you remember that young lady that was dying of 4-stage cancer, was living in the woods for 2 or 3 years, lived in a tent in the woods for 2 or 3 years? She said, I had faith in all that I had. I had a house, I had money, and after my divorce, another man came along and he took it all. She said, and I realized that my joy, my faith, my life depended on what I had. She said, I'm not going to be like that anymore. So we would try to get her a house. No. How about a hotel room? No. What can we do? Nothing. The first year she got a job. Living in a tent, got a job. And she brought that year $2,500 in a one-time gift besides her tithe and offering. And she brought it, she gave it to the office, and she said, I want you to give this to somebody that needs it. So immediately, I said, I got needs. I didn't, absolutely not. That woman gave $2,500. $2,500. How much is a Starbucks? How much? $5? So that's, five days a week? So that's $25. That's $100 a month. There's 12 months. That's $1,200. If you just quit drinking Starbucks, you could bless somebody with a $1,200 gift. But Starbucks, look, it comes out the same way as the cheap stuff. Amen. And they always say, would you like your receipt? I said, do you want me to return it? No. I said, well, don't give me the receipt. I never take a receipt from McDonald's, and I never take a recycled napkin. You don't know where it's been. Absolutely. There are just some things that my mind just doesn't calculate as being right. And recycle napkins and papers that go around my sandwich is not one of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we see here that you can lay hold of eternal life. What's more important to you today, money or your life? Think about eternity. Really, what would you give if God said to you, you're at the wrong throne. You are supposed to be in the second group. And he opened up the book of life. Now, I know that some of you say, I believe in once saved, always saved. Well, I understand you do, but it doesn't hold water. But think of this, that you go up there and God says, I see not one thing you've done for me in the name of my son. You say, oh, well, we're not saved by works. Well, faith without works is dead. So I would have to say that if you don't have works connected to your faith in Christ, you're not going to, moving right along. Now, what money is made for is this. Do you know that money is a spiritual thing? If it wasn't, it would not have been born by Jesus Christ in his body on a cross so that you could have it. Now, and I'm telling you this all in a ball so that you understand that you don't just get money to get stuff. You know, it says, money can't buy me love. Well, how does that go? Wasn't that Beatles? Can't buy me love. That's when long hair made you famous. Before that, if you had long hair, you were a hoodlum. But the Beatles come along, and then long hair was just, you're cool. But money can't buy you love. But it can deceive you thinking you got it. Now, money is a spiritual tool, or it could not affect your eternal life. Money is a spiritual tool, and that's all that it is a tool. You can use it for good, or you can use it for evil. Now, go to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. What time is it? Oh, Lord, I've got plenty of time. 2 Corinthians 9:10. And I'm trying to give you a lot of information, so you need to just sit back and take it in, and then sit back and take it in again. 2 Corinthians 9:10. And it says this, now he that ministereth, which is God, seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, and increases the fruits of your righteousness. Now, who gives you seed? Why does he give you seed? For a harvest, right? Because God knows that you and I need money to run the kingdom of God. Oh, all we need is God. Yep. And faith that transfers God into provider, which is money. You can't go down to Kroger's and say, hey, the pastor up there told me that God sent me down here to get groceries. You got any money? No. We got a dumpster out back. They're not going to give you grocery because God's with you. Now, I do understand God make you glow and somebody whoo and fall down and you take their groceries, but you. Now, look, listen, I'm telling you, people are crazy. And I am convinced that 99% of the world needs to see. What is that guy that used to make all the people crazy, smart? started with an F. Psychiatrist. Who? Freud? Yeah. I think they're all nuts. I mean, people think they're men, women think they're men. Listen, and those people need help. They need a touch from God. Because Freud can't help them. Oh, Freud has done Freuded out. He's dead. And I want to tell you something. There is only one hope for those that are struggling with confusion, struggling with divisions in their mind, struggling with mental illness. The only help is God. And I'm telling you, the church, you as an individual, can break that over people. Because when you join with God, God is the unlimited physician. Don't ever give up. 2 Corinthians 9:10, it says that God multiplies the seed that is sown. Now listen, look what it says. And being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. You know what the word bountifulness means? Riches. That's what rich means. You have an abundance. And it says this, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. What's this? For the administration of this service, sowing and reaping, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is also abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Notice that it says that it supplies the wants of the saints. The wants of the saints. Wouldn't you like to be able to buy a single mother a new home? Well, I ain't got one. Well, I know, but you got more than most people have. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to help some child that had no hope of going to college to go to college? Wouldn't it be nice for you to be able to fund a family all on your own? You say, oh, no. It's not based on you. It's based on your use of seed, you being productive with your faith to produce the harvest so that you can have an abundance. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then it says, while by the experiment of this ministry, the sowing and reaping and the multiplication, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? It is the gospel of giving connected to the love heart of God. That's the gospel. And then it says this, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What is the unspeakable gift? Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. How about if you see a brother have a need that you sow a seed for his provision? How about us allowing wealth to go to others before it gets to us because of their need? I have asked myself this 100 times. God, one day, one night, yes, what can I do for you? Pastor Dosak, Somebody down the road told us to come here and that you could help us. We lost our home. We don't have a car. We don't have any money. And we have been banned from returning to work because we're Christians. They said you might be able to help us. I've ran the scenario through my mind 100 times. Now, I've brought some shady characters home with me. I mean, I used to bring hitchhikers to my house. When Phyllis and I closed the door, we put 2 or 3 butter knives in the door in the frame so a guy didn't come in and kill us. One time we brought this guy, he had 7 IDs. And then he took his shirt off and showed us how many knife stabs and cuts he had. That really made us sleep. Well, I took him to church with me that night. It wasn't my church, but I was preaching. And I preached and I gave an altar call. And he come to the altar. You say, well, that's just because you've given him a place to live and something deep. I thought that too. No matter where you go, the old Adam nature is still following you. And so he left and we got him a bus ticket and left. And a couple years later, we get this invitation. Mr. and Mrs. Dosak, would you please join me? They gave us his name. I am now graduating from Dave Wilkerson's Teen Challenge, and I am now employed as a counselor for them. You don't know who you're ministering to. I've taken so many hitchhikers to Walmart and checked them out at the register with their tags on. But I thought, God, what am I going to do? I like my privacy. This is my sanctuary. This is where I meet with God. Is it where you would express God to somebody? I said, well, not yet. You know what? We may all be faced with that tomorrow. What are we going to do? How are we going to help people? Money meets the needs of believers, Philippians 4:10. Haggai 2:1, 2-11. It builds and maintains the house of God. That's what money is for. Philippians 4:10, it supports missionaries. It is given to us to help brothers in other churches, 2 Corinthians 8:1 through 7 that we just read. You know, if we have it, we need to support other churches. I mean, I don't know how many churches I've paid a year's salary for just to get them started. And we as a church have done that. And it needs to be done. And then it means that we, as Christians, 2 Corinthians 9:1 through 12, we need to be functioning in seed sowing and receiving. And then Galatians 6:6 says that we are to communicate to them that preach to us or give to us. And the reason that we do that is that when speakers come in, we communicate to them that have taught us that we reap of their natural things because they give us spiritual things. You know, I hear it all the time. Well, why do we have to take an offering for them? Because you're commanded to. You're supposed to. Amen? 1 Corinthians 9:1-12 says that you're not to muzzle the oxen. And yes, I am the oxen. Can't you tell by my backside when you're looking at me? I'm treading out corn for you. I'm helping you grow in Christ. And so I am to eat of your carnal things. That's the way God set it up, not the way that I set it up. The world thinks it's foolish and it's crookery, but in God's eyes, it's the right thing to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So we learn some things about money. Certainly not all the things that we could learn about money. There are many things about money that we don't understand and we don't get involved in, because it's like we are afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Use it with the right motive and the right intent. Do it for the kingdom's sake. Do it for the well-being of other people. And money will never be a problem. Money only becomes a problem when it becomes yours and not God's. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, your kids are watching how you handle money. Show them how to do it. Teach them to tithe. Teach them to give. Teach them to sow into other people's lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's everybody lift your hands up towards heaven. Father, we just worship you. We thank you, God. Money is a spiritual device. It is what you have given us laws for. You have defined how it is to be used and how it is to be observed and how it is to be handled. God, keep our hearts pure. God, let us prepare for the return of Jesus. I believe you're coming, Jesus. Take whatever has to be taken. Just direct me. What is endangering me? Direct me and lead me. What is not good for me? Help my attitude, my mindsets, that I may comply with the restraining love that you have for me that leads me and guides me. Now, Holy Spirit, you are here not just to help us with money, but you're here to draw people to the cross. You're here to let people know that Jesus cares for them, that he died for them, that he shed his blood for them. You're here, Holy Ghost, to open their eyes and let them see how much Jesus loves them. You're here to unveil to them that you're not mad, but that all you're doing is drawing them to a place of safety, that eternal life can be given to them. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Holy Ghost, you're here today to do for people that are not saved what you've done for me, to change me. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I've never committed my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been in a church and they taught you that membership was the way to salvation. But the Bible says that whosoever will believe in his heart that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and that God raised him from the dead, that if you will confess him with your mouth, you shall be saved. What a glorious promise, and a very simple way to exchange your sins for his righteousness. Now, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to make sure that I'm right with God. I want to make sure that Jesus' blood washes my sins away. And I've been in church and I've been a good person, but I need the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and that is you, just lift your hand up in the air so I can see it, and I'll pray for you right where you're at. Come on, if that's you, raise your hand up. Somebody, if you see that hand, please let me know. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So money is not evil, it's good. Somebody say good. Hallelujah. Now we have Mrs. Administrator. Come on up here, Nikki.
That's it?
She's the only person that I dread when she says,
Dad, we need to talk.
Like Phyllis, I say, let me quickly run to the restroom and then I'll come back when I'm not so nervous.
Church, this is a good day. It's not a we need to talk, it's we get to talk. Today is a monumental day at Only Believe. How many times in the history of Only Believe have we reviewed an annual report with you? This is huge for me in my heart. See, this is the first Heart for the House, the first one of many that are to come. So just like you and I, as some of us are business managers, some of us are over a department at work, marriages, parents, we look at what's happened over the past year. We make some evaluations, right? And we go, that was good, but this stunk. Let's not go back to that part again. Or let's do this a little bit different this year, right? Without a review, without looking at what was accomplished, you never know or take the time, effort, and energy to do that. So I'm just asking for 15 minutes today, okay, to do it. And I'm going to do it as quick as I can, as smooth as I can, to get you guys out of here. Because I already know Randy wants to go to the China buffet in Sydney. He already let me know. So we're going to do this every year. But I got to be honest with you. This was a hard year to begin this process because of COVID. Okay, so let's just be real with that. How many of you see this beautiful brochure? You all have one, correct? If you didn't, our media team, Dream Team's gonna put it up for us today so you can follow along, and we have them out at the Welcome Center for you so you can take one with you. And I just like to say that if you've looked at it, this looks amazing. I'm so proud of the staff. They put this together and it absolutely looks good. So you can give them a hand clap, go ahead. They did good on this, it looks good. So it's real simple. The heart of Only Believe, the heart for this house is easy. And you see it on the first page when you open it up, that we want everyone that walks through those doors to know God. We want them to know him, not know of him, not know about him, but to know him, to know what his heart beats for, to know what he thinks, to know what he likes, to know what he dislikes. So in other words, we want them to have a relationship with God. Not about God, right? That's religion. We want a relationship. Number two, we want everyone to find freedom. Because we know that you have a past. And we know that in order to move towards your future, you must reconcile things in your past. There are personal struggles that each one of us has. Some of us may have dealt with addiction. Some of us have gone through a divorce. Some of us have parenting issues, marriage struggles that we just carry into the church with us. We need to find freedom from those things because you can't help anyone else find freedom until you're free yourself. Three, we want you to discover a purpose. Each and every single one of you was given and born with a purpose that God specifically chose you to do. Believe it or not, all of your idiosyncrasies, all of your flaws, and all of your strengths are for a reason, and they will drive you to your destiny if you'll allow it. And last but least, we want you to make a difference with those things that you've been purposed with. Because there's things that only you as an individual can add to the kingdom. And God specifically knew your place and your part. But if you don't play the part and get placed on that part, then the body of Christ doesn't function the way it's supposed to. Because we are the body together. Amen? Turn your page to Salvations. This is huge for us. And I want to say this because Luke 19:10 says that for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. So if we want to have the heart of God, then we know the heart of God sent his Son Jesus for you and I to seek that which was lost and save it. Well, then Jesus, we are to be imitators of him. Then it don't means that we are to also seek and save the lost. So you can celebrate this number because hell lost another one. They are free. They are free. Your number for this church in 1 year is 49 first-time decisions for Christ. Get it right. Give yourself a hand clap. That's huge. Because chances are that means that you invited them to this church. 36 first-time guests sat in a seat, probably next to you. Because you invited somebody. Do you know that out of every 10 people, 7 people say, I've never been invited to church? Yeah, say that again. Wow. But listen to this. 82% of the people who are unchurched said they would be likely to say yes and attend if they were just asked. So I encourage you, keep on asking, keep the visitors coming, because visitors equal salvation for the kingdom, amen? And that's what we want to do. Now, we look at the next page, baptisms. This is a lot of, how many of us have been baptized in this house? How many? Come on. Do you remember this day? You remember this day where you chose to express what the Holy Spirit was doing on the inside of you? Total here in the church, we had 27 this year. That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to move forward because I know I'm pushing time here, but look at your small group page. This is huge. I had small group leaders, home group leaders, and connect group leaders. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I know you give up your homes. I know you invest time in these connect groups, planning events and doing things. And do you small group leaders who stuck with the curriculum for 12 weeks? Look at Dream is smiling at me because she just got through one. Listen, 12 weeks is a strong commitment to say I'm going to show up every Wednesday night and I'm going to share, teach, talk with people about it, and get to the end and bring them from point A to point Z so that they can find freedom in their lives. Amen? Freedom don't just happen in small groups that only believe. It happens in home groups. Some of you go to home groups and you've been encouraged there. You've been struck. And I just want to read a few testimonies today because I feel like small groups were really huge this year. We had 26 plus groups, 334 people plus joined a group somewhere, somehow in the midst of that. And what they did was, is they said, we're not going to do this life alone. We're going to do it with other people. We're going to choose relationships. We're going to choose support. We're going to choose protection. How about that? From the body of Christ. And we're going to build community because we all need each other. So here's what a discipleship group said. One of the girls that went through it said, it was not quite what I expected, but it was so much more. We became family, and we began to grow together. That's huge. That's huge. Number two, this one was from the breakthrough groups. It said, I never knew that I could say how I felt without holding anything back and not feeling like a burden to those that I was sharing with. God brought me to this small group for a reason, and I learned to forgive that which had been done to me. Is that not amazing? Forgiveness. You know what? That little girl's going to heaven because what she could not forgive, if she could not forgive others, then God could not forgive her. She made a commitment that day to forgive. How about this one? Small groups taught me to talk about the issues in order to resolve them rather than burying them. That was a marriage class. There was a children, this was a parenting class, that said, I don't have to be the perfect parent. I am not struggling in this alone. There's other people just like me. You're not in this alone, parents. We've all got the problems, amen? And then last but not least, and I saved this for last because this was important, it was in the evangelism class. And it said that we filled out cards. Pastor, you did not know this was on the testimony list. I just told you I had testimonies. But this goes along with his charge to you and I earlier. Because it said we filled out cards with names of people to pray for salvation. And on my card, I put my brother's name. My brother is now saved and born again. What? Listen, that is 15 minutes a day putting our faith to work for others. It's not okay that we say we live by faith for ourselves. We live by faith because we value others' relationships and we are rescuers in the kingdom, right? What is it if we walk by someone who's drowning and you hold the very answer and we don't share? It was beautiful. Another one, lost and saved. Amen? It's a good thing. This is, the list goes on and on. I have stacks on my desk of testimonies of people that have gone through this. But none of this is possible without all of you who was faithful and committed. Look at our Dream Teamers. Dream Teamers, that is a fancy, spancy name for volunteers. But we have 181 of them in our church today. Look around. That's almost half of your congregation that says, I come to serve. Jesus come to serve, I come to serve, and I'm going to make a difference with it. God has empowered me. In fact, 1 John 3:16 says that this is how we have come to know love. That the Messiah gave his life for us, and we too ought to give our lives for our brother. See, serving one another is a part of that, right? And when you look at this, if you turn your page, you're going to see the youth and the children's church. And I just want to say hats off to you. If you're in that children's church and you are a volunteer, I've been there. I have been there, and I'm thankful that my children are growing, and I've kind of moved forward from that. But I'm telling you, those kids, there are adults back there right now. You've got kids and youth laying hands on their parents, praying the prayer of faith, and then being delivered and healed. We have volunteers. If you look, 83 volunteers are back in that children's church, and 34 are in your youth, making a difference every single week so that you can sit in the main house and your children can be taken care of. This is a huge undertaking. And not only that, but they're partnering with us as parents to help make a difference in our children so that when they see sickness, when they see things that are wrong, they will respond like Christ does. Amen? That's a huge thing. You can look at pump attendance. We had 93 youth that attended a church camp this summer. I can remember church camp, and I'm telling you that they came back with an experience that they're never going to forget because they experienced the love of God in a way and the power of God moving in their life. Amen? So I say thank you to all you Dream Teamers that are making the next generation better. And let me just remind you, the better job they do, the less work you and I have to do when they come out here. Amen? I was just thinking of that the other day. I thought, you know, all those teachers back there, oh, please equip them well, because it makes the transition from youth to adult so much smoother. I just want to give Pastor David a hand. You're going to go to your outreach page, and you see that even through the year of COVID, we were still able. Pastor Dave, Dave, stand up. I know this sounds crazy, and you don't want it, but stand up. Because I'm going to tell you, single-handedly, thank you, David. Thank you. And this is important to me because I'm going to tell you why. Single-handedly, Dave Hewitt kept that outreach team moving in the middle of COVID. He didn't have a problem putting on a mask to serve a hot dog. He did what he did and did what he needed to do in order to get the gospel and the prayer still moving. He didn't buck the system. He went down and he served in the system that was provided for him. And all of you that helped, thank you. Thank you. We passed out door hangers. We gave water. We prayed for sickness and disease. We had a little boy over at Bakken's pool that I handed food to him through the pool fence, the little triangle fence. I handed his sandwich through. I rolled it up and handed it through to him. And his chips I threw over. And his water we shoved through the hole. And then he said, "Will you pray for me? I have a disease." I said, yes, I'll pray for you. He said, this disease, look. And he lifted it up and he had a rash all over the back of his neck. He said, will you pray for me? I said, absolutely. And then next week I saw him. I said, you want prayer? He said, you already prayed for me. It'll be fine. Is that not amazing? Listen, you're doing something in your local community because our presence in our local communities is important. And I say this because a long time ago I heard this said, and I never forgot this thought. If our church closed its doors tomorrow, would the town next to us even care? See, we matter in our community. You matter. If you moved as a neighbor, would your neighbor miss that you were gone because of the kindness and the love and the gentleness and the support that you gave? Because that's what's happening in our surrounding communities. That's why we hand out hot dogs. That's why we give out water. That's why we say prayers for people so that they know they're supported. And there's always hope in our local community. Always. I want them to say, you know what? I don't know how to help you, but that church down there, they'll pray for you. They'll help you. I don't know how, but go there. Go there. Okay. Because they're pointing them towards hope. They're pointing them towards the cross. And I love that. So 2022 is a whole brand new year of outreach. And things look different today than they did 10 years ago with outreach. I got to be honest with you. You're going to notice some changes around here. But that's because what we were doing, other places are doing and doing at much greater levels than we ever did them. You can get clothing at 26 different places from here to Piqua and back. You can get food at 17 local food banks and outreaches that are not our church. So why do it when our communities are already doing it really well? We want to do something that they're not. So we're going to be coming up with some new ideas for us as a church. It might mean you have to get involved a little bit different. In fact, it might mean you have an idea that you might need to head up. Yep. So that you can make a difference. All right, let's go on to Acts 1:8, and we're looking at our pastor or Peter Dosick ministry page because this is a very vital part of what we do, right? But Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when he has come, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You saw God's power come. It sits upon you, and now we're to be a witness of it, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even unto the remotest part of all the earth. See, our Jerusalem is your local community. This is where Jesus in his sandals could walk in just a moment's time. Then there was Judea, and this is our nation. It took him a little few more days to walk where he was going to go. We can get in our car and simply drive. And then there was his Samaria, and that was international. Look at what Jesus did in 2021 by this page. Even with COVID, even with airline prices, even with the struggle of canceling because the test came back positive. I'm just letting you know, 717,655 salvations because of your giving. This is huge. Do you realize that 182 nations were literally touched by pastor's foot, his hand, or his voice because of every dollar pushing to go behind? I may not be able to be the one that gets on that airplane, but I sure am the one that helps give towards that airplane that gets him there. And that does matter. Just what Brother Eric said to you guys this morning, this is a sign of what you've done in your nation and internationally. This is huge. You built 3 wells and you even went to 12 remote villages in Pakistan. That's beautiful, church. You're doing it. You're making a difference. Every dollar counts. And when you give of your time and treasure, you can turn this page. When you give of your time and treasure to Only Believe, I want you to know that we are doing our best to be the most responsible that we can with every single dollar that you give. Every year, we have an outside firm that comes in to do an audit. Why? Because IRS laws change every single month. I promise you. They'll make a law, then they'll undo the law. Then they'll make it again, then they'll undo it again. But if you don't keep up with it, it's constantly changing and you won't be able to do what's necessary or correctly. So we want to be sure that we're doing and managing money correctly and with integrity. That's key. This pie chart just simply shows you where your money goes. We take this serious. And we say thank you for trusting us with the money. Now, there's a couple things on here. We tried to make it as understandable. Yeah, see the staff next year to get your kids put on the pamphlet. I don't know what to tell you. Randy wants everyone to know there was 250,000 kids also through PDM. Thank you, Pastor Randy. Just hijacked an entire presentation. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Anyways, on this sheet, there's two accounts that I want you to understand, okay? One is church functions. Everybody says, what is a church function? I know, that's accountant talk, but I want to make it easy. Church functions is everything we do as a church to build community. So we do pie socials, your Easter breakfast when you come in for Panera Bread. All of those things are dealt with, free turkeys for your home groups. Those are so that we can build community together. Because if the church is not a community together, how can you invite others from an outside community into your community that's healthy? The church community has to have a healthy heart. So it's worth the investment. That's why we spend time together. That's why we drink free coffee together. That's why we do what we do, because we want you to be a family unit so that you'll gain strength from each other, okay? And then the other one is your operating supplies. Operating supplies is everything it takes to operate. In the pew, in front of you, those little white envelopes, those are operating supplies. Your office supplies, your toilet paper. That was hard to come by. I'm just letting you know. Your paper towels, everything that's used to help the church keep running, those are operating supplies, computer ink, printer cartridges, whatever it is that we need to keep running, that's what that is. So that'll help you in your understanding where that money goes as well, because it might be two you don't quite hear enough. Also, in addition to providing administration, outreach, insurance, building repairs, I want you to notice, that looks a little hefty this year, but don't forget, you guys raised $50,000 towards building repair on the drive-in on the outside of the building. And if you've seen it, Pastor Dave and Eric Smith spearheaded that move, and it looks amazing today. But the church added $15,000 to that. So we made it $65,000 because there was a little bit more detailed work than we thought when we got into it. So that was important. But that was a big accomplishment. And when you look at above and beyond, this is the page you did above and beyond all those other expenses. So we were able to make Wi-Fi upgrades in this building only. There's still Wi-Fi to come for the youth in the children's church. We know it's bad over there. You will lose signal. I promise you, if you go walking and texting, you'll lose it. But we're working on that. We're going to continue to do some upgrades. Pastor Tim and the youth, they purchased a new outreach vehicle in which they took to Botkins, Jackson Center, and Anna this year to feed the summer kids on a program. We celebrated a bond payoff of $161,000. Yes, that is huge. That took another 6 months off of our church bond loan. So what was 20 years is now, it's only, we took off two other bonds before this one. So we've decreased our bonds already by 1.5 years. We will pay our building off early. We know that we're going to do that faster than that. It has become truly purposeful in our heart to get this building paid off, because when we do, we can do so much more for the kingdom. And you'll see the interest little part on your pie chart shrink. And I don't like giving anybody any money we don't have to. Amen. Mm-hmm. And then the small group rooms. And you see that we hats off to everyone that helped us get furniture. There's a 12-week waiting period for furniture during COVID, and I'm just letting you know that we probably had 12 living rooms designed, if you see that around your church. That was meant to make our small group rooms community-minded, family-oriented, and just small, where people could truly share problems, right? And not a classroom setting, but more of a place where they could truly share their hurts and their burdens and what was happening. And my hat's off to Jesh and every other man or woman in this church that allowed us to use your trailer and your truck to go pick up the furniture. It was quite the feat, and we say thank you for that. Amen? And then last but not least, I just want to give some of these little best moments that you see that are up here. And this one down here at the bottom with Randy in the little train cart, I don't know what he was doing, but I think there's an age limit on that ride, first of all. But that's our children's pastor having fun, amen? And then you see down here this Only Believe Bodkins, I Love My Church. Some of you might not know this, but we ask you once a year to join with us as we pray for our college kids, and then we send them off. But your college kids receive a care package from your church telling them that you love them. And this year they all got a free sweatshirt from the shop. Listen, one of the girls at school took orders and sent them back to Alexis because all of her friends wanted the same sweatshirt because they loved it. So college kids, you are important to Only Believe. We haven't forgot you, and we're here for you, right? So every dollar, church, that you give, I want you to know, is making a difference. And you have a reason to celebrate for 2021. And I know some of these numbers, everyone has a different view of what a good number is and what a bad number is. Some of you are happy that 37 people got saved. Some of you want 370,000 people saved. And I understand that. But this building wouldn't hold 370,000. But we sure could do a little bit better by filling every seat and asking them to serve Jesus. Amen? So listen, stand up, celebrate yourself, because I'm telling you, God is pleased that you made a difference in 2021. I'm excited for where God's going to take us in 2022, and I'm asking you to join. You give that 15 minutes a day for that saint. I'm asking you just to add a couple more minutes for your pastors and for your staff and for this congregation, because I'm telling you, we can blow those numbers up for 2022. We can make a difference. And now that we know where we're starting, let's set a goal for ourselves. Each and every family, sit down and say, what's our goal to do for our local church this year? What is it that we can make a difference doing? Because if it's passing out 13 brochures at that front door, then make a difference with your 13 brochures. If it's inviting one person to church, then you make a difference and invite that one person to church. But I'm telling you right now, together, we are better. Amen? All right. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we could be a part of your great plan for 2022. Father, just move upon our hearts, Father. Encourage us, spur us on in the faith. Father, for we start right here, but this is not our ending point, Lord. We want to do greater and better things for you each and every year. Father, add to us, increase us, Father. Enlarge our territories and enlarge our borders to do the work of the kingdom, Lord, that it might bring glory to you. Father, for we are aware time is short and it is approaching quickly. Keep us, Father, in the mindset that we would be about your business. In Jesus' name, I pray. And I thank you for it. Amen and amen. Only Believe, let's make sure the devil knows that we're here. Amen? All right, have a good one. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Same time, same place.